بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين يصدى تقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في الدرس الثالث من كنوز وفوائد في شهر رمضان، وهذا في السبت الخامس من رمضان 1442 هجري الموافق 17 من أبريل 2021 ميلادي. موحدين Publications please announce الشيخ علي الوصيفي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فنحن في شهر الصيام الذي هو شهر الإخلاص، وشهر الصوم شهر العبادة الخالصة لله سبحانه وتعالى التي لا يشوبها شرك ولا رياء، ذلك لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى خصها لنفسه جل جلاله، قال كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي. والمراد أن الصوم عبادة باطنة لا يخالف فيها الباطن الظاهر ولا يخالف فيها الظاهر الباطن، ولذلك كانت لله سبحانه وتعالى ولم تكن لأحد سواه. وقلنا أيضا إن الصوم كعبادة لم توجه لأحد غير الله سبحانه وتعالى، الصوم كعبادة لم توجه لأحد غير الله عز وجل. فالكفار والمشركون كانوا يتوجهون للأصنام بعبادات متنوعة من الاعتكاف والنذر والاستغاثة والتوسل والذبح وغير ذلك من أنواع العبادات، إلا الصوم فإنه لم يتوجه به أحد لغير الله عز وجل. كذلك قال العلماء في تفسير قول الله عز وجل كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي، أن الغرماء والمظلومين لا يقتصون من ثواب الصائم، لأن الله عز وجل يبقيه كاملا فلا يقتص منه ولا يؤخذ منه شيء أبدا ولا يقل ولا ينقص. والصائم كما قلنا هو الذي يحبس نفسه عن الطعام والشراب والشهوة، وهذه هي حقيقة العبادة الموجودة في الصوم، بجوار أن الصوم آداب وأخلاق، وأن الصوم خضوع وخشوع وذل، فإن كل عبادة لا بد أن يتوافر فيها عدة مسائل. المسألة الأولى أن تكون العبادة خالصة لله عز وجل حتى تقبل، فالإخلاص لله عز وجل كما قلنا هو تجريد القلب لله، هو تجريد القلب لله سبحانه وتعالى، فلا يلتفت القلب لأحد غير الله عز وجل، فإن الله عز وجل يغار أن يقف العبد بين يديه ثم يلتفت إلى غيره والمراد أن تجعل الله عز وجل أحب الناظرين إليه، أن تجعل الله سبحانه وتعالى أحب الناظرين إليه، فلا تنتظر نظرة أحد ولا ثناء أحد ولا إعجاب أحد بعملك ولا بقولك، إنما تنتظر فقط نظرة الله عز وجل إليك، وتنتظر ثواب الله سبحانه وتعالى في الآخرة. الأمر الثاني وهو الصدق، الصدق والعزيمة الخالصة فإن الإنسان إذا عزم عزيمة خالصة وقوي قلبه على الإتيان بالعمل بكل قوة، كما قال الله تعالى: خذوا ما آتيناكم بقوة واذكروا ما فيه. الله عز وجل أمر أن نأخذ الكتاب بقوة وأن نأخذه بجد لا هزل فيه ولا ضعف فيه ولا وهن، فيجب أن نكون صادقين لله عز وجل، ثابتين على ما أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى. والإنسان إن لم يكن صادقا فقد وقع في النفاق والعياذ بالله. والله عز وجل يحب عبادة الصادقين ويكره عبادة المنافقين، ولذلك فإن الله عز وجل يثبتهم في العمل ولا يحب العمل منهم. قال سبحانه وتعالى: ولو أرادوا الخروج، يعني في الجهاد، لأعدوا له عدة ولكن كره الله بعاثهم، أي خروجهم، فثبتهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين. والمراد أن الله عز وجل يكره عبادة المنافقين لأنها خلت من العزيمة، ولأنها توجهت إلى غير الله، ولأنهم إذا قاموا إليها لم يقوموا إليها فرحين، بل قاموا إليها كارهين، قاموا إليها كسالى، وإذا أنفقوا لا ينفقون إلا وهم كارهون. فهؤلاء الذين ينفقون وهم كارهون، ويتصدقون وهم كارهون، ويصلون وهم كارهون، هؤلاء لا يقبل الله منهم عبادة. وهذا معناه أن قبول العبادة متعلق بالفرح بها، بالفرح بها والاستبشار بها. فكل من فرح بالعبادة واستسلم لله عز وجل فهذا هو الذي يحبه الله سبحانه وتعالى. فحب الله عز وجل قائم بعد شوق القلب وحب لقائه سبحانه وتعالى، قائم على حب العبادة وحب الطاعة وحب الوقوف بين يدي الله. ولذلك كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عن الصلاة: أرحنا بها يا بلال. فالصلاة روح البدن، وإذا خلى البدن من الروح فلا قيمة له. ولذلك فإن الصلاة التي لا روح فيها تلف في خرقة وترد في وجه صاحبها. فلذلك لا يجب على العبد أن يلتفت لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يجب على العبد أن يكون لاهيا لاعبا في صلاته. الأمر الآخر: المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن العمل متعلق بمتابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. فالصلاة تكون على الطريقة التي كان عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والحج كذلك: خذوا عني مناسككم. وإبراهيم عليه السلام قال قبل ذلك: وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا. إذن ليس للإنسان أن يعبد الله على طريقته أو على مذهبه أو على الكيفية التي يحبها هو، بل يجب عليه أن يعبد الله على الكيفية التي يحبها الله ويحبها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكما أننا مأمورون بأن نقبل على العبادة وأن نؤمن بالعبادة، فكذلك نحن مأمورون بأن نؤدي العبادة بالطريقة التي كان يؤديها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله عز وجل قال في كتابه: فلنسألن الذين أرسل إليهم ولنسألن المرسلين. وينادي الله عز وجل على عباده ويقول سبحانه وتعالى: ويوم يناديهم فيقول: ماذا أجبتم المرسلين؟ ماذا أجبتم المرسلين؟ فقوله ماذا أجبتم المرسلين إيمانا وتصديقا، وكذلك منهاجا وتشريعا على الكيفية التي كان عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. كذلك العبادة لا بد أن يعلم العبد أنه واقف بين يديه بتوفيق الله عز وجل وبمنة من الله سبحانه وتعالى وبفضل من الله، بينما حرم الله عز وجل أناسا آخرين من أن يقفوا بين يديه. وأنت قد استفاك الله وأكرمك الله وأنعم الله عليك بأن جعلك من عباده الصالحين الذين يقفون بين يديه، فقد أذن الملك سبحانه وتعالى أن تقف بين يديه، فلا تقف بين يديه وأنت خالي الذهن وأنت منشغل البال، بل يجب عليك أن تدفع وساوس الشياطين. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بين، وكما ورد في الآثار، ليس للمرء من صلاته إلا ما عقل منها. فالإنسان لا بد أن يتدبر وأن يفقه عندما يسبح عظمة التسبيح والتنزيه لله، وعندما يقرأ القرآن لا بد أن يفقه معاني القرآن حتى يعبد الله على بصيرة. وكذلك إذا سأل فإنما يسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى من نعمه وخيره وفضله في الدنيا والآخرة على الطريقة والكيفية التي فيها إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة والاستغاثة والنداء والمخاطبة، فلا يخاطب ولا يرجو أحدا إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يعطي ما لله لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى، بل يجب عليه أن يخص الله عز وجل بحقه، وأن يعطي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حقه، ولا يجعل الحقين حقا واحدا، لا يجعل الحقين حقا واحدا، فحق الله بالتعظيم والإجلال وحق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في المتابعة. الأمر الذي بعد ذلك، بعد أن يشهد المرء أن الله هو الذي تفضل عليه، وأن الله عز وجل هو الذي أكرمه، وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي جعله في هذا المقام، لا بد أن يكون واقفا متدبرا وهو على بساط الذل لعلي واحد هو الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني يشهد في العبادة، يشهد في العبادة كأنه يتخيل الله عز وجل بين عينيه، فهو في العبادة كأنه على الصراط قائم، وكأن القبلة أمامه، وكأن ملك الموت من خلفه، وكأن الجنة عن يمينه، وكأن النار عن يساره، وملك الموت واقف فوق رأسه، والله سبحانه وتعالى فوق العرش، فيضع العالم كله فضلا عن نفسي على بساط الذل لله رب العالمين، يجعل العالم كله على بساط الذل لله رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى. فمقام الإحسان لله عز وجل كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك، أو فاعلم أنه يراك. وهذا مقام الحياء من الله، ومقام مشاهدة حقيقة العظمة والجلال، ومشاهدة أمور الآخرة، حيث أن الإنسان إذا راجع إلى الله لا يزداد كلمة أو حرفا واحدا عما كان عليه، إلا أنه يعاين اليقين الذي كان عليه في الدنيا. يعني العلم لو أنه رأى الجنة ورأى النار ورأى أهل الجنة يتنعمون وأهل النار يعذبون، فإنه لا يزداد بذلك علما، فإنه لا يزداد بذلك علما، لأن العلم قد تحقق عنده قبل الموت، هو أن الجنة حق، وأن النار حق، وأن النبيين حق، وأن الملائكة حق، وأن لقاء الله عز وجل حق. فهذه العلوم التي آمن بها وصدق بها لا تزيد لو أنه رجع إلى الله عز وجل، إلا أنه يعاين حقيقة اليقين، ثم لا ترونها عين اليقين، يعاين حقيقة اليقين. أصل حقيقة المتابعة
وحقيقة الإحسان ترفع الإنسان في مقامه حتى يرى تقصير نفسه وأنه مع ما أدى من عمل لا يعشق به فهو لا يمكن أن يتقي الله عز وجل حق التقوى. فإذا نظر إلى ما بلغ من العلم وبلغ من العبادة فإنه يتهم نفسه دائما بالتقصير، لأن ملك الملوك سبحانه وتعالى الذي تفزع عليه النفوس أعظم وأجل، أعظم وأجل من أن يعبد بعبادة قاصرة. والمرء إذا نظر إلى نفسه وجد نفسه قاصرا في العبادة قاصرا في الطاعة فيسأل الله عز وجل العفو والعافية وأن يغفر له سبحانه وتعالى ذنوبه ويغفر له جميع معاصيه لأنه لا ينفك منها. كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. تفضل.
شيخ على يسير حضاء الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. And I bear witness there is no Lord except Allah to be worshipped in truth without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and messenger thereafter. As we are going through the month of fasting, the month of sincerity, the month of worship sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is the kind of worship that no shirk, no polytheism, and no deficiency whatsoever can interfere with it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified that action of worship, meaning the fasting, to himself alone without any partners. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith that we learned about earlier, all of the actions of the sons of Adam or the son of Adam is for him, except fasting, it is for me. So fasting is an action of worship that's sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's also an action of worship that's an action of the heart before anything else. It's an action of worship that's hidden within the human being, in which what you hide can never be against what you show, and what you show can never be against what you hide. As we said earlier, the fasting was never for any nation before the Muslims, and was never done as an action of worship for other than Allah. Fasting was never done as an action of worship for other than Allah. If you look back in history at the disbelievers and at the people of polytheism, you would see that they would direct all kind of actions of worship to their idols, as we mentioned earlier. But the only action of worship that they never did for their idols or their gods was fasting. The only action that they never did for their idols or their gods was never fasting. Again, fasting was never directed to anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith that we mentioned earlier, all of the actions of the sons of Adam is for him, except fasting, it is for me. So when it comes to the action of fasting and the reward for fasting, that reward can never be taken from a servant in any shape or form. Once, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward his servant for fasting, his servant for fasting, that reward can never be taken from that servant in any shape or form at all. Even on the day of judgment, even if the servant ended up in a situation, as we mentioned earlier, where he started losing his good deeds to others that he oppressed, or he may gain evil deeds from others that he oppressed in the hereafter, except for fasting. The reward for fasting does not, in other words, transfer from one servant to the other. And yes, as we know, fasting is action of worship in which the servant of Allah withhold himself from food, drink, and all forms of desires, including sexual desire. In addition to the fact that fasting is a school to teach the servant manners, etiquette, humbleness, humiliation to the Lord Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst other forms of the best of manners. We learn also that every action of worship must have certain conditions, the first of which that this kind of action or this worship must be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so would Allah accept it. And what is sincerity? What is ikhlas? Sincerity is to free the heart from everything other than Allah. Sincerity, again, is to free one's heart from everything other than Allah. So your heart should never turn to anybody other than Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would feel jealous for his servant when his servant is standing between his hands in the prayer, for example, and yet the servant is not paying attention to his prayer. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may feel jealous that the servant is standing between his hands in the prayer, yet the servant is thinking about others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point here that you as a servant of Allah must make Allah the most beloved to your eyes. So do not pay attention to the looks of others at you while you are performing any action of worship. Do not look for any praise or amazement from anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather you should be worried about the fact that Allah is looking down at you while you are worshiping Him. You should be looking forward to what kind of reward Allah may be saving for you in the hereafter. And the second affair here, the second condition, is being true and having the correct will that is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being truthful along with having the sincere will is a very important affair when it comes to actions of worship. As a servant of Allah, when you intend to do anything that is only solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must be according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for us, meaning it must be upon sincerity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Quran, and He told us, take what we have given you with strength and take everything in it. Speaking of the Quran, take what we have given you, O Muhammad, meaning from the Book of Allah, with strength and take or hold on or act upon everything in it with seriousness. And that's just a paraphrase of the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in this ayat, as the Sheikh mentioned, to explain the ayah, to take upon the Book of Allah with strength and with seriousness, and not, wal-iyadu billah, look at the Book of Allah in a way that may have mockery involved, or wal-iyadu billah, not take it seriously and the like. Because if you, as a servant of Allah, is not truthful regarding the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you may fall into hypocrisy, wal-iyadu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His truthful servants, and He hates the hypocritical servant. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would slow down the hypocrites when it comes to any action of worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the hypocrites that we mentioned in other ayat earlier in previous classes, and if they wanted to go out for jihad, speaking of the hypocrites amongst the believers, if they wanted to go out for battle along with the Muslims against the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will slow them down and will tell them, sit with those who are sitting. And this again is a paraphrase of the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the hypocrites because their actions were devoid of strong will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the hypocrites because their actions of worship are free from strong will or strong desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, as it said, the hypocrite, when it's about time for prayer, for example, you find him lazy in trying to do the prayer. And you find him not happy with the fact that they have to pray. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ The hypocrites, for example, when they're required to give out charity for others amongst them, or for the Muslims in general, you find them hating the fact that they have to spend their money for the sake of Allah. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept from them any action of worship. That means the acceptance of worship is directly related to being happy as a servant to do it, and to be looking forward to do that action of worship. In other words, everyone from amongst the believers who is happy to rush into worship, in any action of worship, who submitted to the will of Allah and looking forward to please Allah through any action of worship that is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the true servant. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah rather, is established upon the love of worship and the love of obedience of the servant. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in hand in hand with the fact of the servant willing and happy to stand between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, arihna biha ya Bilal, give us comfort with it, O Bilal, speaking of calling to the prayer. Because the salah, the prayer, is the true ruh, is the true spirit of your body. So if the body is devoid of the salah, then the body has no value whatsoever. This is why if a person, wal'iyadhu billah, from amongst the Muslims, is not upon the correct prayers, is not upon what pleases Allah of praying and time and so on, his ruh or her ruh should be wrapped in an old piece of clothing and thrown back at the owner of that ruh or that spirit. This is why it's upon the servant to be always happy with any action of worship that is legislated for him or her. This is why upon the servant to be never ever taking any action of worship as something easy or not caring for it, wal'iyadhu billah. The other condition here, that any action of worship must be according or in following the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. As our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in regarding to the salah or the prayer, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as if you see me pray. As Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, for example, in regards to the Hajj, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me or learn after me how to perform the different parts of the pilgrimage. As the Prophet Ibrahim himself, or Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him in the verses in the Quran, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكْنَا,
and show us, our Lord, how to perform the different parts of the pilgrimage, وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا, and repent upon us, or bestow your repentance upon us. This is why it's not permissible, for example, for any Muslim to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that he or she loves, as they say, but rather you as a believer must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and a way that his messenger loves, alayhi salatu wassalam. Just as we are commanded to rush to any action of worship and believe in those legislated actions of worship, we also commanded to fulfill that action of worship upon the same exact way our messenger alayhi salatu wassalam did it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the messenger alayhi salatu wassalam in the Quran, to ask those that you have been sent to them, O Muhammad, and as other nations before you, as the messengers that were sent to them. And that's again a paraphrase of the ayah. In another ayah, another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on a day that they will be called upon and they would say, have you answered the messengers that were sent to you? So it's a matter of belief. It's a matter of being truthful. And this is why it is a methodology and a legislation to be followed and acted upon in Islam, in the way that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and no other way. This is why the servant of Allah must learn that he's standing between the hands of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala only because his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed such a blessing upon him. Only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him superiority above and beyond other servants and creation of Allah to be able to stand between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other affairs prohibited upon the people. Or this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather deprived other creation or other human beings from such an action that he blessed you with, meaning that you are able to stand between his hands in prayer, for example. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen you from amongst many, many other people out there to be able to worship him in truth upon the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us so. This is why the King of the Dominion, Allah Almighty, the Lord of all of mankind and the jinn, told us or permitted us anew to stand between his hands. So don't ever stand between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while your mind is busy with other than Allah. Don't ever be doing any action of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're thinking about other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, it's not for the individual from his salah except what he pondered upon. It's not for you as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain from that prayer of yours except what you truly were thinking and pondering upon. This human being must think and must ponder when you are praying. You must think and ponder about what you recited in the Quran. You must think and ponder about every action of worship that you worship in the Lord Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why when you're asking Allah, you're asking Allah from his blessings in this life and as well as the hereafter upon the way that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told us how to do it. This is why when you give any of your wealth, which is in truth the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you only give it upon the legislated way to those who are deserving of that according to this religion of ours. In other words, you must be particular and specific in regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be also give, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his rights, just as you're supposed to be giving his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam his rights. But don't ever equate between the two rights. Don't ever say the right of Allah and the right of his messengers are one and the same. Because the rights of Allah is in glorifying and thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Lord Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rights of our messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is in following him the way he taught us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, you must be fully aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have bestowed such a blessing upon you to be able to worship him. You must be fully aware that Allah, out of his generosity, have honored you to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be upon knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the strength to be in such a situation to be able to stand and pondering upon the carpet of humiliation to Allah, the Almighty, the Most High, the only one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you must be fully aware in your action of worship as if you're imagining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right between your eyes, right in front of you. You must be worshiping Allah as if the bridge across the hellfire is established right in front of you, as if the paradise is to your right and the hellfire is to your left and the angel of death is right on top of you. You must be worshiping Allah as if you're looking at your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right in front of you. At the same time, you must leave this whole world of ours upon the carpet of humiliation only for the sake of Allah right behind you. Because the position of ihsan, the highest position of a believer, is that you worship Allah as if you see him. And if you cannot see him, you are fully aware that he subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. This is the status of shyness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of realizing the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you realize that you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you even if you cannot see him. And you stay upon that until you meet your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not wanting to add one single word to what you were upon in this life of ours. Because you were always looking at your Lord while you were still alive before Allah summoned you to death. That is the true knowledge. That you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect you in the hereafter and after the judgment, and when you see the people of paradise enjoying the pleasures and the blessings of the paradise, and when you see the people of the hellfire suffering from the torment and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will not add any more knowledge to what you were upon before you died. Because you as a believer, before you died, you knew well of those rights. You knew well was gonna be waiting for you in the hereafter, and you acted accordingly. And this is the realization of certainty. This is the fact that you as a believer live in this life of ours upon certainty of what you learned of this religion. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and you will see it, meaning the hellfire, truly with the eye of certainty. You will actually see it physically in the hereafter. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is the reality of following the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. This is the true reality of following the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, as well as the true reality of ihsan, that will raise the human being in this life of ours to the point that you realize the reality of your own nafs and your own self in accordance to the religion of Islam. Because it's not possible for a believer, no matter how hard we strive to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rights of taqwa that we're trying to attain, the rights of taqwa that we're trying to gain, no matter how much knowledge we gain or acquire, no matter how much worship we're upon, you as a believer must always accuse yourself with deficiency and shortcomings in regards to your Lord, Allah Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater than any kind of worship that you do as a servant that is always going to be deficient in one way or shape or form. This is why you must ask your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-afu wal-afiyah. You must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and salvation. This is why you must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins and all of your evil deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, or rather the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam himself told us, all the sons of Adam are upon some kind of wrong, but the best of those who are upon wrong, those who repent back to the Lord, those who return back to the Lord. Allahu ta'ala a'lam.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد فإن المقدمة التي ذكرناها لا بد أن نستحضرها عندما نتكلم في أي عبادة من العبادات. هل هذه العبادة لله سبحانه وتعالى؟ هل صدقت فيها عزائمنا؟ هل كانت هذه العبادة على طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ هل تحقق في هذه العبادة مقام الإحسان والمراقبة والحياء من الله عز وجل؟ هل استشعرنا أن الله عز وجل من علينا وتفضل علينا بأن أوقفنا بين يديه، بينما حرم آخرين من الوقوف بين يديه، أو حرم آخرين من الوقوف بين يديه؟ هل استشعرنا في هذه العبادة حقيقة التقصير في حق الله عز وجل، وأننا ما عبدناه حق عبادته؟ الملائكة الكرام الذين يسجدون ويركعون لله سبحانه وتعالى ويقولون دائما سبحانك على حلمك بعد علمك، سبحانك على عفوك بعد قدرتك، يرفعون رؤوسهم ولا يرفعون رؤوسهم إلى يوم القيامة، يعني إلا يوم القيامة، يعني حتى يوم القيامة. فإن الملائكة عندما ترفع رؤوسها تقول سبحانك ما عبدناك حق عبادتك غير أننا لا نشرك بك شيئا، فدل ذلك على أنهم يعلمون مقام الله عز وجل، وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى له من العبادة ويستحق من العبادة أعظم مما قدموه، وهم مسخرون لله عز وجل. فكيف بالذين هيأهم الله عز وجل، هيأهم الله عز وجل للفجور والتقوى، والذين أعطاهم الله عز وجل الاختيار في العبادة والتقوى والإيمان، والذين كثرت أعداؤهم من الجن والإنس والشياطين،
والدنيا بزخارفها وصورها المختلفة وأهواء النفس التي ترضي المرأة في الآراء والأهواء والشبهات. فلا بد أن هذه الأمور عوائق. فكيف إذا رفع هؤلاء رؤوسهم يوم القيامة ماذا يقولون لله عز وجل؟ هل عبدوا الله عز وجل حق العبادة؟ ما عبدوه حق العبادة، ولكن الله عز وجل من عظيم رحمته ومغفرته وعفوه وتفضله على عباده المؤمنين أنه يغفر لهم ويتجاوز عن سيئاتهم، أن الله عز وجل يغفر عن للصادقين أسوأ الذي عملوا، يكفر الله عنهم أسوأ الذي عملوا ويجزيهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. الصادقون يكفر الله عز وجل أسوأ الذي عملوا. أدل ذلك على أن الإنسان مهما بلغ من المقام لا يستطيع أن يوفي الله عز وجل حق التقوى وحق العبادة. الحديث الذي بين أيدينا عن أبي هريرة قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أكفي به. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم، يعني في اليوم الذي يصوم فيه أحدكم، فلا يرفث. والرفث مشتق من الجماع وما يلابسه من مقدماته وغير ذلك من الكلمات المتعلقة به، فلا يجب على المرء أن يقول الكلام القبيح أو الكلام الفاحش، ولا يفسق، يعني لا يقول الكلام الذي يغضب الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى. والفسق هو الخروج من الإيمان بقدر المعصية، بقدر المعصية، فكل معصية يفعلها المرء هي فسق وخروج من الإيمان، يعني خروج من الإيمان الواجب، يعني خروج من كمال الإيمان، وهي بالضرورة تضعف في الإيمان، ولكنها لا تنزع الإيمان بالكلية من القلب، لا تنزع الإيمان بالكلية من القلب، فأصل الإيمان في القلب، والذي ينقصه هو الكمال الواجب، الكمال الواجب. ثم قال ولا يفسق ولا يصخب، يعني لا يرفع صوته بالسيء من القول. والصخب تنطق بالصاد والسين، ولا يصخب ولا يصخب يعني لا يرفع صوته بالقبيح من القول. وهذا معناه أن الإنسان إذا صام واشتد الجوع عليه فإنه يعلمه الأدب ويعلمه الخلق الحسن كما بين النبي، ومن جاء بغير ذلك فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يدع، يعني يترك قول الزور والعمل به، فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه، يعني لا يعبأ الله بطعامه ولا بشرابه. وفي هذا دليل على أن القول السيء يؤثر في الصيام، وإن كان بعض الأئمة ذهب إلى القول بأنه يبطل الصيام، ولكن الجمهور على أنه يؤثر في الصيام ويضعف الصيام ويضعف الصيام. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله، يعني تعارك معه أو سبه سبا، يعني شتمه، فليقل إني امرؤ صائم وهذا في صيام الفريضة، وقيل أنه مستحب في صيام النافلة، والأولى أن لا يظهر صيام النافلة، ولكنه يظهر القول بأنه امرؤ صائم لينقطع وينزجر الذي يسبه، والمعنى أنني صائم لا أقول القول الفاحش ولا البذيء ولا أرد عليك بمثل ما قلت، فالصوم يمنعني من ذلك وإن كنت قادرا على أن أرد عليك. يعني مقام الصوم أرفع من أن أرد عليك، وأنت أهون من أن أرد عليك، يعني لا عبرة بك ولا بمقامك، والصوم يمنعني وليس العجز هو الذي يمنعني من الرد عليك، بل أنا قادر على أن أرد عليك ولكن الصوم يمنعني. فهذا دليل على أن الصوم يعلم المرأة الأخلاق التي تمنعه من الوقوع في السباب والشتائم ومجاراة الناس بما يقولون من البذيء من القول. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لخلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. وخلوف فم الصائم أي الرائحة المنتنة التي تخرج نتيجة لخلو المعدة من الطعام، هذه الرائحة التي يستكرهها الإنسان أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك، يعني يوم القيامة. وهذا معناه أن الإيمان، أن المؤمن ينبعث منه ريح طيبة، وهذه الريح الطيبة تظهر في عرقه، في عرقه، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان عرقه أطيب من ريح المسك صلى الله عليه وسلم للإيمان. أما الكفار فهم أنتن من الجيب، لأن الكفر نتن ونجس ورجس، وهذا الرجس والنجس نجاسة إما معنوية أو نجاسة حسية يتولد منه رائحة كريهة مستقرها. ولذلك فإن روح المؤمن تخرج كأطيب ريح وجدت على ظهر الأرض عند الموت، وروح الكافر تخرج كأنتن جيفة وجدت على وجه الأرض، يعرفها الملائكة من، يعرف الملائكة قرار صاحبها من رائحته، من رائحته المنتنة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أن ريح الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك، وهذا فيه دلالة على أنها منزلة أعلى من منزلة المجاهد في سبيل الله الذي يأتي يوم القيامة ودمه يسعف، يعني ينزف اللون، لون الدم، والريح ريح المسك، والريح ريح المسك. فهذا معناه أن الصائم أطيب من ريح المسك، يعني خلوفه من الصائم أطيب من ريح المسك، ودم المجاهد مثل ريح المسك. فهذا يدل على منزلة الصائم عند الله عز وجل، منزلة الصائم عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأنه العمل الخالص لله عز وجل. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: للصائم فرحتان يفرحهما، فرحة عند فطره لأنه أتم العبادة والطاعة لله سبحانه وتعالى، واستشعر أنه وقف موقف الرضا من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فيفرح بتمام عبادته أنه أداها، ويأمل في رضا الله عز وجل عنه. أو أن الصائم يفرح بأنه فتح له الباب الذي كان مغلقا، فإن ما يشتهيه من الملذات كان محرما عليه، فلما فتحت له أبواب الملذات التي حرم منها فرح بها، والنفس مشبولة على حب ما تشتهيه، فإذا فتحت أبواب الملذات فرح الإنسان. ثم الفرحة، وأيضا هناك فرحة بأن دعوة الصائم مستجابة، دعوة الصائم مستجابة، للصائم عند فطره دعوة مستجابة. أيضا الفرحة التي في الآخرة هي أنه يدخل من باب يقال له باب الريان، لا يدخل منه إلا الصائمون، فإذا دخل الصائمون أغلق هذا الباب. هذا حديث واحد جمع فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أوتي جوامع الكلم، جميع الأمور المتعلقة بالصيام، سواء من جهة الإخلاص، سواء من جهة المشقة وترك الملذات، سواء من جهة الأجر المتعلق بالصيام، وهو متعدد كما تعلمون في هذا الحديث وفي غيره من الأحاديث. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال، وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
مع السلامة.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا، بارك الله فيك.
الله يبارك فيك.
طيب فيكم بارك الله. استنى الإخوة معكم يا شيخ.
نعم.
سلام الإخوة معك.
السامع عن السامع.
سلامنا للإخوة معكم.
الله يسلمك، سلمك الله، الله يبارك فيك. الشيخ محمد يسلم عليك. الله يسلمك، بارك الله فيك. برعاية الله. مع السلامة.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ. الله يسلمك. عز الشيخ حفظه، كنت انساد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله thereafter. So this introduction that we just went over, that we just mentioned earlier in the class, must be always brought to mind when we talk about any action of worship. Is that action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that action is done truthfully the way Allah legislated subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is your will strong upon that action? Were you true upon the way of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Have you fulfilled the status of ihsan and the fact that Allah is watching over you, the fact that you're supposed to be shy with your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you feeling the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have bestowed that blessing upon you by giving you the capacity to stand between his hands, for example, while he deprived others of fulfilling or doing that same action of worship? Do you truly feel in your heart the reality of your shortcomings in regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of any action of worship that you're doing for the pleasure of Allah? Imagine this. The honorable angels, those who prostrate, who make sujood and ruku' for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, those who never raise their heads in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they keep their heads lowered in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who say, meaning the angels, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanak, for your forbearance after your knowledge. Subhanak, for your forbearance, for your hilm, after your ilm, after your knowledge. These angels, with the angels, would never raise their heads until the day of judgment. And when the angels are permitted to raise their heads on the day of judgment, they will say, Subhanak, we never worshipped you truly the way we should have worshipped you, but we never associated any partners with you. Imagine this. Pay attention, the angels, that when they finally allowed to raise their heads in the hereafter, they confessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
even though they were always upon worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they confess into the fact that they never worshiped Allah enough the way they should have been worshiping. But they also confess to the fact that they never associated anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the angels were created solely for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that action of worship of the angels is constant, is never ending, till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permit them to raise their heads in the hereafter. Those angels that Allah conditioned upon such an action. So how about those, dear brothers and sisters, that Allah made easy for them to be upon worship from amongst the mankind? How about those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the ways and means to be upon taqwa and to be upon iman, even they may have plenty of enemies from amongst the mankind or from amongst the jinn, the spirits of fire, the creatures of fire, or even they may have many enemies from the devils as believers? How about those that this world, with all the beautiful things that it has, with all the whims and desires that one may look for, how about those, wa'iyadu billah, dealing with all the whims of oneself, wa'iyadu billah, that will drown the human being in all kind of opinions, doubts, and innovations? Imagine this. All of the above is obstacles in your way, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared you and made it easy for you and gave you the means and ways to be upon taqwa and iman. Those angels, the angels are permitted to raise their heads on the day of judgment. As the Sheikh said, and give you the rhetorical question, do you ever doubt the angels did not worship Allah the way he should be worshipped in truth? Of course they did. How about us as human beings? Are we worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we should be worshipping him? But yet, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most honorable, the most generous, and how he's oft forgiving, he will forgive the believers in the day of judgment. And he will overlook their shortcomings and their pitfalls while they were alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the truthful. And he will expiate for them the worst they have ever done when they were alive. It's only the truthful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate their sins for them. It's only the truthful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase the worst they ever have done. That shows us that no matter how high a human being will reach of a status, meaning upon the worship of Allah or upon the knowledge of Allah, that human being can never suffice the rights of Allah upon him or her. That human being will never suffice the rights of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty, as mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of the actions of the son of Adam is for him. This hadith, as you pay attention to this, is hadith Qudsi, meaning that Allah is saying that upon the tongue of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the action of the son of Adam is for him, except fasting. It is for me, and I reward my slave for it. Then the hadith continued,
So when one of you fast a day, meaning while you as a believer going through the day of fasting, he should never fall into any kind of rafath. The word a rafath is derived from sexual intercourse. The word the rafath, in other words, refers to sexual intercourse or sexual pleasure and any introduction to sexual pleasure and any derivative from sexual pleasure or any consequences of sexual pleasure. In other words, the believer while he's fasting should never fall into evil action or any ugly talk or any displeasing speech. Wal'ayyadu billah. As the hadith continues, so the believer should not fall into fisq. Fala yafsuq. Al fisq or al fusuq, as the sheikh said, is to exit oneself from the level of iman as much as the sin he or she has fallen into. Meaning that when a believer falls into fisq, and that's loosely translated, Allah Ta'ala A'lam, and Allah knows best, as sin. When a believer or evil action, when a believer falls into sin or evil action, he or she will fall off the status of complete iman. Meaning that your iman will become weak, but you never ever leave iman altogether. In other words, iman never leaves your heart altogether as a believer. But rather, what you are missing here is complete iman. This is an obligation upon every believer. As the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ continues, la yafsuq, so we should not fall into fisq or fusuq or sin or evil action. Wala yaskhub. Yaskhub here as a verb refers to raising one's voice with evil talk or raising one's voice with bad speech. And the word yaskhub, or the verb actually yaskhub in the hadith, can be said, as the sheikh said, with the letter sal or the letter seen. You can say yaskhub or yaskhub. And again, that refers to speaking with ugly talk, wal'iyadu billah, and loud voices. So when you're fasting and hunger is hard on you, that severe hunger teaches you to have good manners. The severe hunger makes you behave. But whoever does other than that, there is no need for that person, as the hadith continues, to leave off his food or drink. Meaning, whoever does not leave false speech or false testimony or acting upon such bad speech, then there's no need for them to leave off their food or drink. And that is a proof for us, is that bad statements can affect your fasting, or evil talk or idle talk can have an effect on your fasting. Even though we know that some of the scholars of the Sunnah went as far as saying that it may nullify your fasting, but the consensus of the scholars said it only weakens the reward of your fasting. It only weakens your fasting. Wal'iyadu billah. Then the hadith continues. So if somebody curses him out or try to fight with him, wal'iyadu billah, meaning if somebody insulted you, then you must say, I am a person who's fasting. Inni imri'un sa'im. I am a person who is fasting, or I am fasting. But you can only say this, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, when you are fasting, for example, during the month of Ramadan, the obligatory fasting. It was said amongst the scholars And it's highly recommended to say the same statement in similar situations when you are fasting, an optional fasting outside the month of Ramadan. But it is actually best when you are fasting, optional fasting, not to say this because it will show the others around you that you are actually fasting outside the month of Ramadan. That's why the scholars have gathered upon the opinion that is only permissible for you to say, I am fasting, when somebody tries to fight you or curses you out and so on, or insults you during the month of Ramadan. What that means, that I'm not to be saying anything that is lewd or anything that's despicable, wal-iyadu billah, and I'm not going to answer you in the same fashion you are cursing me out or you're insulting me because I'm fasting. Even though, as a human being, I'm well capable to reply back. But the status of fasting is much higher for you as a believer, for you to answer back somebody who's trying to pick a fight with you or cursing you out. It's not a fact, or it's not an issue of inability, for example, that's preventing you from replying back. It's only the fasting and the fact that you're trying to gain the full reward behind that fasting. Fasting teaches you good manners, but it also teaches you the kind of manners that prevents you from falling into cursing people out or insulting people. Then the hadith continues, in which the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, and the smell of the mouth of the fasting individual is more beloved to Allah than the scent of musk. So that, if you want to call it, as some people may refer to it, a stinky smell that comes out of your mouth due to the fact that your stomach is empty when you're fasting, is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the scent of musk on the day of judgment, that is. It is more beloved to Allah than the scent of musk on the day of judgment. The meaning here, that the believer, when he or she is fasting, a particular scent that may be unpleasant to some people may come out from the mouth. But yet, that same scent on the day of judgment will be more beloved to Allah than the scent of musk. The same thing applies to the soul of the believer when he dies. The soul of the believer when he dies gives out a scent that the angels will know how sweet it is. Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us so. As for the disbelievers, as for those who are not upon Islam, a scent that will be more of a stench than dead animals, wal-iyadu billah, will come out of their bodies after they die. Because the disbelievers are upon najasa, upon major impurity. The major impurity, matter of fact, that filthy, despicable scent is not just a physical scent. It's also a spiritual scent, wal-iyadu billah. Again, the soul of the believer will smell as the best of scent that's ever found upon the face of this earth. And the angels know it. But the scent of the disbeliever will smell like the worst of scent ever found on the face of this earth. And the angels will recognize it, wal-iyadu billah, as we learn from the hadith of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. going back to the hadith that we're going over, our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the scent of the mouth of the fasting person is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His status is higher than the status of the Muslim who's in the battlefield fighting against the disbelievers. Even though when the Muslim fighter dies in the battlefield, his blood will smell like scent, will smell like musk. That shows us that the status of the fasted person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved than the status of the Muslim fighter who goes into jihad or the battlefield against a disbeliever. And why is that? Because the fasting person is only fasting or as upon an action that is sincere to Allah alone without any part. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and then the fasting person at the time of breaking his fast, he will have two joys, two pleasures, if you want to call it that, when they break the fast. The first of which is the fact that the fasting person have completed an action of worship and completed an obedience only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this believer has felt in his heart that he's standing upon a status of pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he or she was given the blessing of completing such an action of worship, hoping for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he or she realized or happy with the fact that Allah permitted a door of pleasure to open up for him or her that was closed for others. Wal-iyadu billah. That he or she now, and the second happiness here, or the second form of joy, is due to the fact that now you as a believer can have access to all of the pleasures that you were prevented from when you were fasting. Because your own nafs, your own soul, is created upon loving those pleasures, meaning food, drink, and sexual pleasures. But also, as we learn from the hadith, and the supplication, the dua of the fasting person is answered. We also learn from the hadith that is a particular door from the doors of the paradise called the door of the Rayyan, Ar-Rayyan, or Bab Ar-Rayyan. Nobody enters from that door to the paradise except those who are upon fasting. And then the door will be closed after the last fasting believer walks right through it. In this hadith, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, in one single hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered for us, and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was given jawami' al-kalim. He was given the most comprehensive speech by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave us in one single hadith all of the matters that deals with the fasting, whether from the way of sincerity or from the way of hardship or from the way of leaving the pleasures or from the way of realizing the blessings of Allah and from so many other ways that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us anew our righteous deeds. Hada wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anything that I said as a translator that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is from myself and or from the shaitan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow around the same time, if Allah destines for us to live that long. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.